what were we talking about downstairs is what I meant. Like, just like as a natural, like a conversation, instead of like, I'm curious to see if how naturally we could just have this feel and before like having a lay on, like an artificial lay on of like, yeah. And this week we're talking about.
Welcome to Goober Time with Dr. Chris Chismore, hosted by Tom and Griffin.
We are your hosts, Tom and Griffin.
Unfortunately, our illustrious friend, Dr. Chris Chismore, is away on his important research and unable to host the podcast this week.
But fear not, dear listener, because he has left us in charge, and we are going to try to do a really good job of a podcast.
This week, Dr. Chismore has asked us to talk about...
No. I mean, I guess we could talk about our weeks.
I mean, you and Jordan went on a trip.
Yeah, are we recording now?
Yeah, I just started recording.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we went to...
I started recording Marin style. greetings, goober... what the fuck, Nix?
Greetings.
What the fuckers? What the fuckistas? This week we just tried to do a full-on WTF interview. Maybe that's the... No, I don't know. Yeah, where did y'all go? What was it called?
We went to Morro Bay.
Morro Bay.
Morro Bay. It's on the central coast of California in SoCal.
Something about that I really don't like.
Yeah, I hate it, but that's what everyone calls it.
It's slow. Did you call it slow sometimes?
SLO, yeah, for San Luis Obispo. That makes sense, but it is I hate the implication that it's like, this is SoCal.
Oh, and that's what people are just sort of driving directly at the pun?
No, yes and no. I mean, it is like very chill. I mean, Morro Bay only has 10,000 people in it, but San Luis Obispo is slightly bigger, but it is like more pastoral and then lots of farmland. So I think people are like slow, like it's SoCal, you know?
Yeah, gotcha.
The pace of life is just easier.
I think I just don't even like just hearing something. I think I don't like when people call something, San Francisco SF.
Yeah.
They're not really doing that with San Diego. No one's calling it SD.
No. Do you like it when people say LA?
I don't even really like that. I would prefer they say Los Angeles.
I think Los Angeles sounds better than LA, personally.
Yeah. I think it just feels like packaged California horseshit.
Yeah, it is.
Ready
it
to
is.
Go. And I think a lot of that I react negatively
yeah,
to.
Yeah, absolutely.
As does most of America, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I agree. I think California gets deserves some of the hate it gets for the people.
It's on, and let's be clear, it's on account of the people.
Yeah, I mean the state rules.
The land, incredible.
Yeah, there's no way anyone can be like there. I hate it when you know, I either travel the country or you just hear people and like California, oh, it sucks. It's the taxes are so high. It's like, yeah, the taxes are high because have you ever lived in Indiana? Like I lived in Indiana for so long and like, I like paying the taxes so that I don't have to be in Indiana.
I mean, there's many other places that are not Indiana, but I think your point is it is, you know, especially Southern California and, you know, Los Angeles area is immaculate, you know, whatever, Mediterranean
climate.
Yeah, that's the one you want.
Yeah.
That's, if you're rolling the dice on Earth, you want to land on that.
Yeah.
Where it's mostly good most of the time. Every now and then it gets a little bit extreme and a little bit too dry or whatever.
Yeah.
I like to go, I've told you this, but I like to go... try to do like a big hike at the beginning of every month so I can remind myself why I'm paying so much in rent.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's actually, at least it helps me swallow it a little bit more where I'm like, oh yeah, I only had to drive 30 minutes and I'm in a place unlike any I've ever seen before.
100%.
I guess eventually that'll get old.
I get why people hate LA, but anyone who lives here, I'm like, well, what did you do? And they're like, well, like the people were fake and they're like, oh, did you come here to, you know, what
did you
like
goal?
To do? Yeah, did you have a goal? And they're like, well, yeah, I came to like get into entertainment. And you're like, okay, well, what else did you do? And they're like, well, I worked a job. You don't really go anywhere.
They took no responsibility for their own happiness.
Well, yeah, it's just like if you don't like camping, if you don't like doing anything outside, if you don't really go hiking that much, you don't like doing outdoor activities.
If,
you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to. If you don't like music or interesting bars,
so many people that I know that ended up hating LA or moving away were just like they just kind of worked and then chilled out at home. And I'm like, well, that's why you hate the city is because you never do anything in it.
Yeah,
and like if
that'll make you hate anywhere you live. Having done that myself in several cities, I can confirm it'll make you hate Los Angeles, California, just as much as you can hate Auburn, Alabama, or.
Yep.
New Orleans, Louisiana, 1 year after Katrina.
Yeah. Well,
two places I've had that experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could be one of the few guys who said they hate New Orleans.
I don't hate New Orleans. I hated New Orleans when I was there, yeah. But I was enamored with it before. I was obsessed with New Orleans beforehand, and then Katrina happened. I said, "Oh, this might not be so fun," but I guess too late. Here we go.
Yeah.
And then I got there, and I think New Orleans itself was still fun. As fun as it could be, and you know, as enriching of a place as it could be, in you know, light of the fact that it was basically a post-war zone. There were like National Guard checkpoints when I got there, and there was just not much going on culturally. The real reason I hated it is because I didn't like the people who went to Tulane.
Oh, I didn't know you moved there for Tulane. I thought you went to help out with the National Guard.
Yeah, they hired me as a sniper.
They said
you have to help us keep other young white men away.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
You we're hiring you because you know them so well. Really had a bad time there. I had a good time last time I was there. It's still a beautiful city. Anyways, what did you want to try to talk about today, Tom?
Should
I do the radio voice the whole time?
No.
Whoa! Anyways, sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, no, I mean, now you got me thinking about radio people. Did you ever have anyone in your hometown
who had a radio?
Who was a good radio? Yeah, did you have anyone in your hometown that had a radio?
Hometown. No.
There are no radio DJs?
You're talking like a big like personality or whatever?
Yeah, I feel like every town, or at least when I was a little kid, I had a lot of like, they weren't necessarily a big name in the city, but people would like, they'd show up at the opening of a mall, you know?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Like, that's the type of DJ I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, we had one called Pam Thrash. She was, I grew up in Bloomington. She was the number one DJ I remember. And then there was a guy who used to sign off. He would say, blue skies, green lights, and then he died.
Jesus.
And that's
that was
why
his
sign I remember
off. That's
when
how he, that's
sign
how he
off.
Signed yeah. off every time.
Yeah, but when he died, they made it especially like they'd play it and they'd be like, blue skies, green lights. And then they were like, rest in peace.
Green lights all the way straight to heaven.
Yeah, green lights all the way straight to the
Don't
blue
stop,
skies.
Don't yield. Get right there.
Yeah. And then one time my Spanish teacher in middle school dated one of the, like a known radio DJ. And all of us were super impressed.
That's incredible.
I can't remember his last name. It might have been Earl, but we were like, "Whoa, you're dating Jeremy Earl?" And she was like, "Yes." That's not how I think she talked. Yeah. But it's so funny to me that as a Spanish teacher, she also was like, "I'm going to tell you guys who I'm dating."
That's sort of unheard of. But I also that's such a funny like, yeah, there's a celebrity that the kids are all aware of, and I'm so excited to share with them that I'm dating him. He's the DJ.
Yeah,
and she was like, and she was right,
yeah.
And the kids were like into it. It's,
yeah,
that's crazy. That's now gone, as most I think terrestrial radio stations are kind of dying.
Yeah,
the changing, and that's what this week's about: the changing media landscape. At what cost for the convenience? Spotify, was that even a full thought?
No. I mean, I think I've discovered way more music with Spotify than I ever did on the radio. Spotify isn't like the greatest company, but it's one of those situations where you kind of...
They are. I was just reading earlier today. They're the greatest company.
Oh, well, I stand corrected.
It just came out.
Says?
New York Times and Washington Post did a collab.
Nice, they did a collab.
They settled their differences because they wanted to find out what's the best company.
We gotta get people to start tweeting at the New York Times and Washington Post to do a collab.
I think there is like a thing of like joint reporting or something for like
I've never heard a paper being like, this is an official collab.
Yeah, my sister would know about that. Maybe she is a journalist.
She's a journalist.
She also might not know about that. Not going to put that pressure on Ellie.
We were just talking about Spotify. I think I discover way more music with Spotify. I mean, I don't care what they do with my data. Like, learn everything I like because they give me they are usually pretty good about giving us awesome music.
Yes.
And I think we are the only people who actually follow each other's Discover Weeklies because our taste in music is the same. Well, to an extent.
And I hate to break the news to you, but that is not true. I also follow our friend Jin Discover Weekly, and my ex-girlfriend's, it still shows up on there. I haven't listened to it in a long time. No. No, but it was really nice because she and I had probably still have lots of music in common, or like, whatever, taste in common. But no, I just know it's on there somewhere. But I have like a million. Yeah, I know you and Jen's are the ones I see. I'm not still looking at her Discover Weekly. Okay, I'm good. I'm it's all good. I'm gravy. I start crying immediately.
Yeah.
Just absolutely just silent.
Start sending her, like clicking on one and just sending her this. This is my favorite song. What did you think? It's just 6 years of unrequited Spotify songs.
And here's something we've talked about before that's related to that we need to get into the public sphere and get the conversation going on around this, dropping an anchor point here and everybody can start rallying around it. Spotify needs to bring back their in-app DMs.
Yeah.
Deleted them. They used to have this. Deleted them.
Yep.
That's how I used to send music back and forth with Tom. We had lots of... I'd say lots of text messages back and forth. I'd say a fertile trove of cancelable texts I could ruin you with on Spotify. They're no longer there. I don't know if that's true. But it'd be fun to be able to go back and see what we were sending to each other and or whatever. You know what? That's funny. It's likely the conversation because I went back when you and Jordan got married. I went back and looked. And did I tell you this? Looked at like our old like iMessages maybe, and but definitely Facebook messages. And it's funny to read because it's just like it's so in a way so lame. It's just like this is like two children. It very quickly turns from like I think me giving you my phone number and being like or vice versa and like let's hang out, to then like a few months go by and like one of us is like yeah anyways you want to suck my fucking hog idiot. It's like two college frat boys talking. It turns out, as much as I tried to avoid becoming or being that, I think in some ways it's unavoidable.
Yes, that's part of being a guy.
You got part of being a guy. Turns out you're just gonna be a guy, no matter what, no matter how hard you run from it.
Yeah, you're gonna the guy inside's gonna get you.
That dog inside's gonna come out.
Yeah,
and he'll be barking.
Yeah. He's, you know, you can try your hardest, but he's going to want to say things are gay.
He's going to want
to say things. That middle school guy, the middle school dude, he's going to come out.
Yeah, gay, absolutely, for sure. Yep, saying other stuff. It's funny that I even care. I'm censoring myself at all. I used to be so hardcore, like, you never censor yourself. Awful. I was so, especially in college and right after college, so hardcore, like everything should be okay to say.
Yeah.
The world will be better when we're like less close-minded and scared of words. And in some ways I still think that, but it's wild to think back how hardcore I was about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why everyone in Chicago has audio of you saying a racial slur. Every kind of racial slur.
Well, I'd run through the list every morning. I'd wake up, I'd get on a terrestrial radio station I could find.
I like how you're clarifying that they're terrestrial.
That's not satellite radio, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's just fun to say. I'd weasel my way into the door. I'd say, here's $550. I just got to get through this list. And I'd go through the list. I'd call it the free speech list. And it was every slur. And I would just say them bloodlessly. And I'd say, and the next word is, there's no context, I just say the word.
And then at the end, give a clarification. These are all bad words.
You shouldn't be.
We should avoid using in context. However, there is nothing bad about uttering them.
It's just it's just meat moving in your mouth and air pushing out your gullet. That's all it is. There's no spell, no power.
Yeah, there.
I do actually believe that part.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think as you get older, you realize that, like, yeah, these words have meaning.
And sure.
They definitely affect the way other people.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Feel and think about you.
And it wasn't that I never thought that wasn't true. either. That wasn't, I don't think what it was. It was, I think, me reacting to, you know who Brad Trammell is? I think I've told you about him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listeners plenty of made, times. Okay, video essays.
Man. Yeah, video essays.
You think I like
they're
them.
Free.
I like them.
They're great.
Yeah, they but are
he,
good.
He has one called about the literalists, and he vocalizes very well what I was, I think, feeling and reacting to back then, which is, and still, which is, yeah, people just taking things incredibly literally and thinking, maybe they wouldn't say this, but believing that, you know, words have secret hidden power, and, you know, by saying some things, you are casting a spell into the world and changing it. And people certainly believe that, or like, you know, in some ways, you know, there's like a concept of energy or whatever.
Yep.
But I think they also believe
like the Wendigo.
Like the what's up?
The Wendigo. Or
should you be saying that?
Yeah, I mean, you're just supposed to not. People, I mean, there are like. That's just in my ghost story. I love ghost stories. And there are a lot of creatures in ghost stories or ghosts that in which you just do not, that you don't want to talk about them.
Like,
because uttering their name or talking about them will bring them closer to you.
And that is called a Wendigo, or the Wendigo is one you don't want to say. Like
it's no. You can say it, but it's just like it's a.
This is candy.
There's not just one. There can be multiple. There it's a someone who's practiced black magic. An indigenous person who's practiced black magic.
I pause the recording. I cross the room. I slap Tom a couple times. I get him another beer. I say, calm down. And then I start recording again.
But this is the kind of personal depth that you get from listening to the podcast, is you get to hear about my ghost story. My ghost story, my passion for ghost stories and the supernatural.
Your spiritual life.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even say I practice or I delved into any of that stuff, but I do like hearing other people's stories. That's what I mean.
I just don't give a shit.
They're really cool. Some of them, I mean, like there's like tiers of story, and a lot of them are just people calling in and be like,
but calling into what?
Well, there's some ghost story podcasts where they call in and. But there's some of them where they're like, my grandmother loved butterflies and she passed away and I saw a butterfly in my backyard and I just knew it was her. And you're like, this sucks. Like, but there are some stories which are really incredible and that you're just like, yeah, this is so bizarre that no one could make it up.
I think that's the part that I don't get. That's where I'm like, none of this seems incredible to me. Somebody made this up. Obviously, I mean, by definition, they made it up, and I just don't care. I don't care about ghost fire or campfire ghost stories anymore. They quit scaring me a long time ago. I just really dig my heels in. They don't scare me anymore. Tom, don't talk about them.
They don't scare me.
Don't talk about them. They don't scare me. They do not scare me. Make sure. Do you have a nightlight in this room?
Just in case
somebody actually hits the switch and it gets too dark.
You lost a little bit of that magic.
Definitely.
See, I still got that magic in me. A lot of people have the dog in them. I got that magic in me.
My mind is racing trying to think of a magical dog and think of not one. There must be some.
It's Cerberus.
The
hound, the three-headed hound of hell. He's a magical dog.
And listeners, instead of writing a review, if you can comment the name of a magical dog wherever you get your podcasts, we'll give you 4 months of Goober Time with Chris Chismore with Tom and Griffin for free.
4 months of the free podcast.
Yeah.
Air Bud, some may consider him magic or talented.
I'd say talented.
Okay.
I'd say talented. I don't know about any other...
Is there any bit of childhood magic that you have left in you?
You said that with such... I don't even know what the emotion was. Is there any bit of childhood magic? Damn, this is getting in. This is turning into like a full-on therapy convo.
Your therapist looks at you. Is there any little bit of that childhood magic left in you,
buddy? That is for sure a question that a therapist would ask. In fucking Los Angeles, especially. I don't know. I'm trying to think what that would be. My first thought is no.
Well, I mean, I think my little bit of childhood magic is like that campfire. I remember being a kid at summer camp and hearing people tell ghost stories around the campfire, and my mom used to put in ghost stories when we were driving in the car, and like I used to love listening to them. And there's still part of me that like wants to believe in that and it's like it's so cool how there's so many people who continue to have this stuff, have these experiences, and that is what I really like about it. And there's still that little kid in me who's like, oh, this is so cool. And it doesn't have to be ghost stories. I mean, like, even if you're just like really like planes, or you're just like my dad, I think as a kid loved ships and boats, and he eventually joined the Navy, and he still like acts like a little kid if he sees a really big boat. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool. It's a fucking big boat, but like, there's no need to like, he really freaks out about it. He's like, oh yeah, oh man, this reminds me of a big boat that I was on. And then he'll start talking about all the big boats he's been on.
Wow. So autism, like a kid. So autism is inherited.
Yeah. It runs in the family.
It's a heritable trait. Yeah. Wow. That's charming. That's, I used to really love airplanes but now I'm, you know, sort of have panic attacks on them.
Yeah. You've realized
I was obsessed with jet planes. Okay. I don't know. I think the stuff that I'm trying to like, there were so many things that like, you know, when I was a little kid that I just didn't know about. And so therefore I would place, you know, you put in there in that whole magic answer or like question mark that could be anything because I don't even know what's possible anymore or yet. So I don't know, like, you know, wander around the woods around my grandma's house. And that would be like, you'd kind of feel, I don't know, like a little, like it's a little bit scary, but it's a little bit not. And then the more, I don't know, the older I've gotten and the more I've done things in the world, the you know, more light has sort of shone into those dark little crevices where magic used to live. And it's just not there. It's not, which I think in some ways maybe could sound sad, but I don't think it is. I think it's, you know, like it's been replaced with, I don't know, other stuff, reason and seeing, you know, the richness of the actual world. Yes. And not some fantasized world.
Yes. Now you're a learned man of science.
Yes. And that's my journey. I think where there's like magic to me, magical feeling or magical thought, it goes into, I don't know, me writing things, writing little movies, little stories, that kind of thinking goes there or what? You're nodding up and down.
I'm nodding because that's a little magic in there. Wanting to create little stories, wanting to create little characters.
yeah, which I like to
create fun little guys that you can show on stage. That's a little bit of magic.
I guess. It doesn't feel like a magical wonder of childhood, though. I'm not like listening to somebody telling a ghost story and I'm like, wow, so that could be out there? I'm like, wow, so this person's delusional. Yeah.
I think that same thing whenever I see an actor on stage.
That's what?
Because I say, this person thinks they're somebody else. They're delusional. Right. They're not that person.
Right. I see what you're saying about having a childlike mind or whatever it is you're trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to say that if you make up little, you know, I think wanting to be an actor and acting is such a, I mean, it is something that you do mostly as a child. So to think as a grown man that you like, I tried this bit out on stage one time at an open mic that I was like, Leonardo DiCaprio like deserves less of our respect. He's like a grown man who's just pretending to be a bunch of, and we're like, oh my God, he's just so good at pretending. But it's like, you're an actor. You haven't worked like a real job. Sure. You know?
I think that's sort of a common,
yeah.
pretty common thought. Yeah, nobody respects actors really.
But I mean, they do. They
in some ways, sure.
But I mean, it was back in the day, they didn't like people. Then they was like, oh, you're a liar.
Wait, they were saying that?
Yeah, like in the 1800s and earlier. They feel like if you were
liars.
Yeah, they thought that you were a liar. They thought because you were an actor.
What?
That you were they're like traveling in troops. They would be like, we can't trust you because you could always be acting.
What?
Which is like an insane way to think. It's just being like, I don't trust that person. They're not, they're acting like somebody else.
I've never heard this before.
You've never heard that? They're just local actors were considered low class and like untrustworthy.
I mean, I've I currently do think that, but I've never heard about that the historical account.
Yeah, it's because we know too many comedians.
I'd say we don't know enough comedians. We know too many actors.
Yeah. No, that's true. Name them.
Okay. Sure. Fine. I'll get on terrestrial radio. Read the list. Go down the list.
It's so funny to me to say, I just have to finish this list,
and then you get $550.
You did not clarify what the list is. All I want to do is want to go down this list.
I got to go down the list every day. I do have to find a different radio station every day because once I say the list, they pretty much lock me out. They lose their broadcasting license immediately.
And somehow they don't communicate with each other.
Right, these guys about don't know each other. They're in competition.
They never talk with each other
Like the New York Times and the Washington Post. Yes. That's why I've been sending them letters trying to get my list in those papers as well.
Yeah.
And they don't know about
it. To publish the list.
I need the list published. Oh, this sucks. This is an evil bit.
Yeah. It is evil. So we were talking about childhood magic.
Childhood magic. Oh, and which is fun. I'm trying to think. I mean, because I felt that, I think, into college and maybe even into moving to Chicago, was like kind of like this sense of like wonder and mystery at like just consciousness or whatever. We're now turning into Who Made It Weird with Pete Holmes. This is the Who Made It Weird with Pete Holmes segment of Goober Time with Chris Chismore with Tom and Griffin.
He can't be more than 5 miles away. He lives in Los Feliz, so some of that
doxing him immediately. Tom immediately doxing a celebrity.
Dude, he's fine.
He's got armed security.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this last episode of like people are not like everyone's worried that because they get doxed, people are going to show up to their house. Dude, get over yourself, Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes, no one wants to kill you. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah,
there's probably some people who want to kill him.
Yeah, but like enough to act on it.
No, and even I said that he probably not. People are probably just at most annoyed with any public figure.
Yeah, a guy who laughs loudly into a microphone on his own podcast.
Asks too much about God. Yeah. Tom pointing to himself.
Yeah, pointing to myself. Both times. Yeah, asks too much about God. I don't know if I ask too much about God anymore, but
Making me uncomfortable, buddy.
I used to.
Did you really? You'd wander around and spark up convos?
No, I don't think I was ever that guy, but I was... I did wonder a lot because I think that I was becoming less religious. And I think as I was becoming less religious, I wondered more about God,
mm-hmm.
you know, which.
Because you were like trying to. What? Like,
yeah, I think
understand what it was you had been told.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm saying is just trying to be like, oh, now I'm asking more questions. So I'm believing less, but rather than I'm believing less because I'm asking more.
Yeah. A classic. Okay. Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. In college, so I felt that, like, you know, I remember, like, sitting outside and just kind of looking at the sky and just being like, man, I am just in, like, absolute wonder of existence in a way of, like, I don't know where we came from and what's controlling life and what is causing whatever order in the universe or whatever. There was a big mystery to me about, like, what has happened? How are we here? What are we supposed to be doing here? What am I going to do? And then that kind of turned into, like... Whatever I had been told about God as a child, somewhere in that turned into like, well, God, this concept of like God is everywhere. There, you know, this idea that like it's like a personified thing, and there's like, you know, a picture of God. I just watched Roy Scoville's special last night, and he talks a lot about, you know, the classic God with a beard, and, you know, why does he look hot or whatever. And I think that probably doesn't land. I mean, it's funny, but it doesn't maybe land for religious people because I don't think that's how most religious people ever thought about God in the first place. Yeah. Or at least from my, you know, Catholic understanding and upbringing, it was much more like amorphous, and it's, you know, we're using these concepts to describe a thing that is by nature indescribable. And so I kind of sat with that for a long time and thought, that's... you know, interesting, but like, what does that mean? Oh, well then somehow that transmuted into like, well, this experience and this feeling of like God is just other people. It's just, you know, other people I'm seeing, you know, so much beauty in and complexity, and like the world is such a complex and unknowable place. So that experience of, you know, trying to figure out what is God, I think it's just people noticing that the world is an incredibly complex place. And then that turned into, well, there's just like no God. It's just people, and there's no magical thing. There's so many things going on that it's impossible for one person to understand, you know, even close to most of them or whatever. Yeah. But there's just no, I don't know. And then somewhere in there, my friend Dylan showed me some Sam Harris best comeback YouTube compilations.
Oh, no, that's
but that
you know where this is going.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, Tom. but it did. I mean, as corny as that is, it did like help clarify a lot of things that I had thought that like I had thought for like a long time since I was a child. And then hearing Sam Harris kind of like clap back at like just like basic religious shit, and then like his just like consistent criticism of every religion in the same way. It was like I think he, you know, gets a bad rap, maybe rightfully so, for focusing much too much on Islam. He certainly deserves the bad rap because he's just obsessed with it. But he
so much that his family has security
concerns.
Security concerns.
Yeah. Welcome back to Security Concerns with Jess Griffin. Tom's on guard duty.
Yeah.
I give Tom a gun and I get the podcast for 10 minutes. But yeah, I don't know, that his something about his thinking and his God, he's like razor sharp. He's a beautiful vocabulary, and he speaks very, very precisely, and that helped, I think, just clarify what I thought of the world, which is of, you know, welcome back to the podcast. It's here's the scoop for the comedy podcast. I'm a pretty I'd say humanist or like maybe materialist perspective. I have materialist and not in like I like buying things, but like the world is made of physical items that are
textiles.
Physical thing.
Yeah, the world is made of cotton,
spices,
and rubber.
I'm talking turmeric.
Yeah, turmeric.
I'm talking ginger. I'm talking rhino horns.
Yes.
No, you know what I mean. It's made of physical pieces that all combine together to create ultimately my experience and the thing that is experiencing them, which is, you know, my consciousness is made of.
Yeah.
It has a biological substrate and a material substrate. There is no secret space for some kind of soul.
Oh. So you don't think...
And that's Goober Time with Chris Chismore. What were you going
to
say?
No, I mean, that's interesting to think that there's nothing. I mean, there's part of me that's like, there's part of me that's like, oh yeah, I love to think about this type of stuff.
Oh, I do too.
I get bothered when, you know, I feel like there's so much online and so many podcast clips and so many videos where people are like, oh, the universe is so vast. Oh, there are so many galaxies and everything. I'm like, yeah, I know that, dude, but like, I still live on the place where I owe $7,000 to the IRS this year, you know? Like,
right. And so I still live in the place where I owe $7,000 to IO Theater.
Yeah.
We're on the same physical plane.
Yeah. It's like, there's, you know, we're not going to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, cool. We're on a floating rock, but, you know, I still got to go to this shitty job tomorrow where a bunch of people expect me to showcase an email that I spent 2 weeks on. So, like, tell me where the magic is in that.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it's point. There's not pointless, but I'm just like, who? Okay, yeah, I know there's probably some magic in the world, but, like, I'm not the guy to find it. And I don't think anyone I know is either.
I see what you're saying.
You know.
Well, what do you mean by that? That you're not the guy to find it.
I mean, I think I can find a little magic in and you know, because I personally, you know, if we're talking childhood magic here, you know, I kind of think watching comedy, you know, seeing comedy, it feels like magic, and you watch being just as an audience member watching it live. That's another thing that I love of like going back to the campfire, you know, of like campfire stories, campfire skits. All that stuff. It's like that to me is like a little bit of magic. So it's like, yeah, I can find that type of magic, but like, I'm not the dude to like talk about the universe. Like if someone asked me, I'm gonna be like, yeah, there's probably something else out there. But like, you know, I got shit to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm burdened by this, you know, the we live in a society of like I'm still burdened by the fact that like I'm expected to do all these you know, things every day. And so, yeah, I mean, I can make room for like mushrooms in my schedule like a couple times a year to kind of get into that type of thing. But like, I got shit to do.
Yeah.
And like, you should too.
Yeah.
You shouldn't skew too far to the like eat, pray, love. I mean, I have a whole video I wrote about it that hopefully I'll, you know, distill into something, but it's just been right. something I've been thinking about a lot of like, the cool dude.
The universe, not cosmonauts, what am I trying to say?
People just get like too, not too existential.
They're navel-gazing.
Yeah, navel-gazing and like, you know, there's some positivity to it about being like, yeah, like, everything's outside of our control, you know, we're kind of just, you know, we live in an amazing place, but the people who are just like fixated on it, and that's like all they're just like, yeah, man, yeah. We're on a floating rock. Why are you so uptight? And it's like, well, I'm uptight because of all the
I owe the IRS $7,000.
Yeah, I owe the IRS $7,000.
Groceries and whatever the practical concerns of living life.
And if I don't, there are physical consequences for that.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah,
this is where I'm at.
What did you think being a man was like when you were a kid? And how is it different from actually being a grown man?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was kind of thinking about this the other day.
Just for yourself, you were thinking
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I was just like, when I was a kid, it's like you think being a man. And that's why I think that it's so fun. It's like that's what all these like podcast clips guys are, is they're like,
yeah,
they're children. They're like a child's idea of a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, and they are the way they are because they are like, this is the man. This is what I think a man should be. And they still have like the mind, like a child's image of a man, of like, a man is strong. He's physically stronger and physically bigger than everyone around him. That is a man.
Yeah.
Like that's part of being a man, is being stronger and physically bigger.
Yeah, classic. I think I thought, I don't know what I thought really, but yeah, you're saying, you know, classic, you know, 1950s America, like a man is, provides for his family and protects his family and is a source of strength. And
I'm saying the podcast guys think like when I was like a certain,
right. They think
when
like
I was
a
young child,
yeah.
I was like, a man knows jujitsu.
That's wild.
And a man knows jujitsu because as a man, you get in fist fights. And every man has been in a few fist fights. And as a man, you should know how to be in a fist fight because you will be in them.
I'm having a hard time like recalling what I thought a man was beyond just like, because I just like wasn't, you know, it's so far in the past, I don't really remember what I was thinking beyond like, I probably just was like, it's whatever my dad's doing.
Yeah. That's whatever, what I mean. It's like, you look at your dad and you're just like, oh, I go to work in a building.
Yeah.
That's what a man is. A man goes to work in the building.
I think I didn't really have a concept of like what a man or like care, you know, had opinions about it until I was like in puberty or something. Had a camp counselor who like read us. I can't remember what it was, but it was some like short story that was like about masculinity and manhood, and it was like, it was some violent thing where like some like coach like threw like kids into like, he was like, oh, y'all are gonna go down into the basement and like, you know, whoever's like still standing is like the man. And then this camp counselor was like, which is looking back, it's like that was maybe a college kid at best, was like to the rest of us, like, so do you think that that's what a man is? And like started this conversation that was just like a bunch of like, you know, young men out in the woods talking about like, what is a man? And I think we all were like, no, that, I guess I used to, I can see how people think that that's manly, but, or whatever, but that's, yeah, we were all kind of like, no, that's like fucked up. And it was, yeah, so it wasn't like shining a light on like, this is what I think and how fucked up of me. It was more just like, my God, yeah, that is like part of it. And I don't think that. So then what do I think it is? And then it just was, I don't know, this like conversation about like, I don't know, I think it was like a lot about responsibility and sensitivity. Which I think is a pretty mature understanding for, like, because I still probably think most of the stuff I thought, you know, in the woods in Tennessee, well, that afternoon when we were talking about it, I was like, yeah, most of it. I mean, there's probably some implicit things that I didn't, you know, that I no longer believe or, you know, carry with me, whatever. But I don't know.
I mean, I'd say that counts. But when I was like a kid, I didn't mean like six. Like, I think just means like any time before like you exit college and you're like, oh, I'm out on my own now. Yeah, like, there was a time when I was like, I left college and I'm like, oh, this is so freeing because it's like, I decide everything that I do. And like, that's what is awesome about being an adult is you do decide everything you do. But then there's a lot of things where you're just like, oh, holy shit, because I decide everything I do, I'm responsible for all these things, like taxes, where it's like, you know, I've heard
Taxes one more time. I'm sorry. I'll slap you.
No, I'll shut up about them. I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
Having your boss over for dinner. That was something I thought happened all the time.
You thought that's what a man did, or that's just what adulthood
was? I think that's what I thought. That's what a man did, because I saw it on TV so much. There's all people always having their boss over for dinner. I mean, my parents kind of experienced a similar thing. I don't think we ever had my dad's boss over for dinner, but that, well, we did, because my dad's boss was my grandmother. He worked in a family business, but like,
do you hear that, listeners? Generational wealth.
What generation? Yeah.
Just another piece of evidence.
Just another piece of evidence.
Tom Wealth Criminal Fell.
Why are you accusing me of being a wealth criminal?
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, that was something that I thought was like, oh, you have ever, I'm going to have my boss over for dinner if I'm successful.
Yeah, that's crazy. Just, you know, sidebar, I just think the term wealth criminal is something about it is really funny to me. I think it's sort of, you know, the most like up its own ass progressive horseshit. Yeah.
Kind of like the class trader, but I mean, class trader I get, but I'm also like, it's kind of intense.
Yeah. Really intense. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just is a lazy thing that you can throw at somebody who has more than you, and you perceive, you know, them to be morally deficient in your eyes. And so you can lobby that at them. I don't know who I've heard people throw that at, but I mean, maybe like somebody like said that about like Elon Musk or something, which, you know, I don't really care to defend him from that term.
Hey, kind of a wealth criminal.
Probably applies to him, but you know, either you're a criminal or you're not. The amount of wealth you've accrued is neither here nor there. I think the assumption there in the term is that, you know, at a certain amount of wealth, you must have done crimes against humanity to get there. And I'm assuming that's what they mean. That's the only thing I can think that would make any sense.
Yeah, I think that checks out.
Sorry, end of sidebar. Yeah, damn, you have really specific ones that you thought this is what people did. I think.
They can be general too. I think I could think of more general.
Every one of them I'm thinking of, I'm like immediately second guessing.
Why?
Because it's not like I don't know. It's like I'm just going by things my dad did, but there were also just like things I did as like a kid that my dad was I guess a man like goes hunting, and then I'm hunting, and I'm like not a man yet by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm doing that thing. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time coming up with anything.
I don't know. I mean, loving, like having a.
I mean, I thought a man hit it from the back every now and then. Yeah, Tom hates that.
No. I made a hitting it from the back joke earlier. Oh yeah, you did. So you know I like it.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, even something like. I mean, I think even into my early adulthood, even out of college, I was like, every man must have a sport and must have a team in the sport. And then, like, when I became an actual adult, I was like, I have no time for this.
See, again, I don't know. I worry that, I'm trying not to be so self-aware. My experience of that was like, I guess my dad likes Auburn because he went there, so I like Auburn. But then like very early on, I was just like, what in the hell are we talking about sports for? My mom and dad still will bring up a time that we were like watching the news, and they like started talking about sports, and I think I turned to them and said, since when is sports news? And they were like, you were like five or 6 years
That's
old.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, I think it's funny, but it's like, I felt like that my entire life. What the fuck are we even doing watching sports, caring about sports? I mean, it's fun to like watch.
Yeah.
For a long time, I was like, nobody should be watching or talking about sports at all. I do not understand it, and it is stupid as fuck. The only thing sports are good for is playing. It's fun to play sports, and it's fun to cheer for sports if you are like an active participant
yeah.
in some way, if it's literally your school that you are going to right now or whatever, I can understand that. But yeah, so I didn't have that one. I was just like early on, nope, don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to me. Don't know why somebody would do that. But that doesn't answer like what I thought a man was.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just even what you thought you were just going to do as an adult is fine. I think mine are
just like brave. Yeah. Like stuff like general, like being like bravery and you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Classic, you know, knight ideals.
Yeah.
I think I probably had that.
Yeah. Knight ideals?
Like K-N-I-G-H-T.
Oh, you're not talking about like knight, like knight moves, knight ideals, like having a lot of sex.
Shit, Saturday night, I got some knight ideals.
What are my ideals for the night?
There's probably a better way to, there's a different, what is this? Chivalrous.
Chivalrous,
maybe,
yeah.
Ideals, I don't, is maybe the way to say it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Damn, I feel like I've ruined your idea, your segment.
No. It really wasn't to try and delve into like what a man is in our opinion. It's just kind of like, oh, maybe we'll touch on that, but it's the difference. It's just kind of fun. It's like they're like day-to-day things. They're like, you know, much larger things about being like, oh, I, you know, a common one that you see on the internet.
I'll say this. I did think I'd be wearing a suit a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, me too. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought you're getting older. You're wearing suits a lot of the time. I thought you're sort of. I really thought I was going to have to be like defending somebody.
Yep, that's another good one. The right thing all the time.
I thought I was going to be considering doing the right thing all the time, and that was I was very concerned with what the right thing was, and still am. But I was like, I think like to the point of the obsession with of mine when I was a kid, because I would feel like. Things are unjust constantly, and they need to be made right.
Yeah.
But it would generally be like things are unjust to me, and I'm in trouble for no goddamned reason.
Yeah. Things are unjust to me, and I must make them just for me.
Right. Well, I didn't know about the conflicts on Earth and the political. What in the hell is that sound?
It's a helicopter. Yeah, I agree. I think that doing the right thing. I think that like. I mean, taking action, I think, like, being a productive member of society, and that's just, like, you know, showing up, you know, being a decent person. I think that applies, but then there's, like, yeah.
Ooh,
there's
I thought like doing- having a wife was a big one.
Yeah,
a
man
has a wife. Once I have a wife, that's when I'm a man.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, that will have, and well, and let me tell you, I am evidence that that is not true.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly masculine and I have no wife.
Yeah, no wife. Nothing close to one.
And I'd say I'm more masculine for it.
Yeah, I guess in some ways, yeah.
No, I don't know what that was. I thought that was, that's like that seems like a podcast, bro.
Yeah. I don't have a wife and I'm more masculine for it.
She's taking my masculinity from
me. Yeah. No, I think that's another good one. I thought that I would, maybe like have a clear wife.
A clear wife, but yours is unfortunately opaque.
Opaque. I have an opaque wife. Yeah.
I'd say Jordan, incredibly opaque.
Yes. Well, like, you know, you get out of college, you have a clear person who is your wife.
Yeah.
And you act on that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're just kind of like, oh, you decide. Two people decide, like, you know, you could get married to really anyone or decide not to get married to anyone. But it's not like, I don't know. It seems like when you're a kid, everything is like a clear decision. And when you're an adult, you're like, I don't know. Yeah, it seems good.
Yeah.
Seems like a smart choice.
I was going to say, I was obsessed with who my, you know, having a wife, who my wife is going to be up until we were like in Chicago, up until I had like my first like relationship and it ended. And then somewhere in there, I was like, I don't really care about it that much anymore. Not that I don't care to like, you know, be dating and, you know, find a partner or something.
Yeah.
But I was obsessed with it. And yeah, that was up until, you know, I can say 2016, I really thought it was important. from when I was a child.
Yeah.
All the way to until 2016.
Damn.
And it's not just because our friend died. It's because Donald Trump won. and the world changed.
Yeah. You said there's more important work.
It's stopping him.
Yeah. It's stopping Cheeto Man.
It's stopping the Cheeto. It's, you know, we have to let everybody know that what was going on, in fact, was not normal.
Yes.
And we couldn't let it become the new normal.
Yes. This is not normal.
And this is not normal. And thankfully we did that because now we know. And now that wasn't normal. And what is happening now is normal.
Yes, it's totally normal what's happening now.
What's happening now is really normal.
It's normal and fine. Good. Yes.
But back then, that wasn't normal. It was bad. And if Trump wins, it'll be bad and not normal. But everything now.
Everything now
is and everything normal. Preceding it was actually normal and good.
Yeah. That's why we're so happy.
I think that's an end.
Goober Time is produced by me, Griffin, and Lauren Talmadge. Executive produced by Tim McGower. Associate producer Ahmed Stork and aspiring producer Little Jimmy Penn. Goober Time is engineered by Roger Goodrich and recorded at Detweiler Sound in Humboldt, Tupelo, Mississippi. Sound mixing by Reed Armband with music by Laser Monster, which is Griffin in the past. You can check it out at lasermonster.bandcamp.com. Tom's costume was provided by Padma Lakshmi with catering provided by Kokomo's Mungo Lounge. Kokomo's, if you can't take her here, you can't take her anywhere.